Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is your sister and friend Adar, and you're listening to the Digital Sisterhood Podcast. Welcome to the wrap-up series part two, and this time it's going to be with a different subset of the team. And to be honest, it's funny because the directors from the Answer Dua, you've heard a few of them, but there still were people you guys had never heard of or have never been formally introduced. Maybe you've seen them in the credits, you know, the podcast credits. If you look and you pay attention, you'll see some names that you're like, oh, I've never heard this person before, or on the mic on the podcast yet. And well, I have a few of them here, some known, some unknown. So I'm really, really excited to introduce you guys to, because, you know, subhanAllah, everybody has their family, their friends. But today I get to showcase people that feel like my family. You know what I'm saying? Because they really are my family. Like, when I tell you this year, last year, Safar 2023, I cannot believe that was just 1 year. Because personally, me, it feels like 7 years. Because I feel like I've known these women for not even seven years. Probably. I feel like I've known them my entire life. Which I feel like maybe you guys feel like that's mutual. Is it mutual, guys?
Sure.
Can you believe that, like, you know, all the things that happened in 2023, it's just only happened in 1 year, subhanAllah. And I feel like that was I like to say it's a catalyst year. I think it was a year that kind of really tested our dedication to not only the TDS, but to each other. If I could make that into an echo and make it dramatic, I would. To each other, you know what I mean? So subhanAllah, it's been, I would say, a rewarding year, but I'm really excited to take it back with you guys. Let's go around and I guess do a little bit of introduction. Let's start with what I call the marketing extraordinaire. Round of applause. Ooh. Sosin Abdullahi. Tell us, who are you, sister?
My name is Sosin Abdullahi. You know me as a marketing extraordinaire, and I guess that's what I am.
You are. Indeed, you are. Where are you joining us from?
Hailing and calling in from Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates, land of the gold. You know, come to Dubai, yeah. Habibi. Yeah. Habibi, come to Dubai. You know,
come to Dubai.
Even though I'm in Abu Dhabi, but come to Dubai, Habibi. You know.
Wallahi, we've been to Abu Dhabi a few times. Yeah. This year, and each time, so without fail, says come to Dubai, come to the UAE, yeah. Habibi. And I'm like, sister, if I could afford to live there, if I could, well, I'm not gonna lie, I'm gonna have to sell half of my liver to just stay there for even 2 seconds. But I will say,
we'll adapt you.
It is the land. It's a life of soft life. It is the life, soft life, life. Does that make sense? It really is. But yes, Sosin is hailing all the way from the UAE. Who do we have next? We got Noura. Noura the sunshine. Noura ala Noor. Yes.
Hi. My name is Noura. I'm one of the newer team members, but it does feel like I've been here 7 years. I'm not going to lie. And what do I do? I think the best way to describe it is like all things people, strategy, like general support across the board. That's me. And obviously from the accent, you can hear I'm from the UK. I'm based in London 10, you know, North London. Specifically. Come on, you gooners. That's me.
Gooners. Is that what you guys call yourselves?
Is that what you guys call yourselves?
No, like
gooners.
If you support Arsenal.
Oh yes.
Oh, okay. Wow. I'm so sorry, sister. I'm so sorry, sister. You know, soccer is not really a big
Don't
team
you
in Canada.
Dare call
no kidding.
It soccer, sis.
It's football. It's football. The way calls it soccer.
Oh, yeah. This is what happens when you're friends with people from all the way from where they're from. It is what it is. I see it's hockey. You see it's football. I see football something else. What do you want me to do, man? I promise you, everybody in North America understands football differently.
How is North America sponsoring the next World Cup if y'all can't even say football? Like, you literally are
hosting it. It's soccer.
Oh, my God. I can't.
Oh, God. I'm not, you know, I'm not going to speak for Canada and our hosting. You're not going to get me canceled. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. And say whatever you say, fam. Whatever you say. But last but not least, we got what do you call the guy from Suits? David Spector. What is Spencer?
Harvey Spector.
Harvey Spector. Our Harvey Spector of TDS. Aisha.
Can I be what's my Meghan Markle? I want to be Meghan Markle. I'll be Meghan Markle.
Markle, but you know, I personally think you're too bad to be Meghan Markle. I feel like you are literally Harvey Specter. You are the big boss. You are the main character.
So, assalamu alaikum.
In my opinion.
My name's Aisha. I joined TDS 2 years ago now. I think it's literally today, like tomorrow. Tomorrow will be 2 years. So I do some legal work for TDS. And follow others around when I can. And I'm calling from Paris.
So again, welcome to the Digital Sorcerer Podcast. Let's break the ice with Vibe Check. You guys already know, for those who don't know what Vibe Check is, it's a marriage card game that TDS came up with to help make the courting phase easier. For all my shy girls and shy guys, Vibe Check will break the ice. And by the end of that sit down, you'll basically have an idea whether you want to consider the person or go to phase two at the very least. So if you're in this phase where you're thinking 2024, I want to get married, or at least I want to make the intention, I think the best way to cement that is buying Vibe Check. Why not? You have the card game. If a good fella or a good gal comes your way, you think, okay, let me set my intentions the right way by playing Vibe Check. Now, some testimonials. There have been people that played Vibe Check and got married. Yes. Can I get a round of applause for Vibe Check? Yes.
Mabruk.
Can't wait to share this testimony. Mabruk. Yeah. Definitely invite us to your weddings. We got no invitation, so that was really hard. That was really hard. but I'm happy to know that a few of you guys have benefited tremendously by the card game. And alhamdulillah, it's all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yeah, so yeah, if you're interested in buying, go ahead, check our website. If we still have some in stock, get you some. Moving on, so I'm going to play some Vibe Check with you guys. Even though you guys are not people I'm getting to know for marriage, I low-key still want to know whether you guys passed the Vibe Check. So my first question to you guys is, when it's 3 a.m. and you can't sleep, what are you thinking about?
Trying to go back to sleep, man. Why am I up at 3 a.m.?
Oh, my God.
Counting sheep?
Oh, my God. Counting sheep. Really? You guys don't think about anything at 3 a.m.? If you wake up, you're not thinking about
it. First of all, alhamdulillah, I sleep really well. I usually am definitely sleeping at 3 a.m. So if I'm not.
If you're up at 3 a.m., it could be one of two things. You could be stressed.
Yeah, definitely.
Or you're just having an existential crisis. And if you are, what are you actually thinking about? For me, for example, what I would be thinking about often is like, it's two things. It's so weird. One sounds really morbid, which is death.
I
think about death all the time, especially in the middle of that. Because think about it, you're in a dark room. You start to think about, like, you know, you just start thinking about death. I don't know. Just for me, it's just an easy, I guess, funnel to think about. And I think the next thing I often think about is what am I doing in my life? Like, what are you doing? Like, it's the voice, mm-hmm. the narrator in your head saying, what are you doing at 3 a.m., you know?
I feel like 3 a.m. is when all your intrusive thoughts come out to play. So whether like you're thinking about your existential crisis that you're having, or like whether or not if drinking too much cranberry juice will make your pee red, it's one of the two.
You know? That is such a random thought. I think like, oh, you know, that Allah made me wake up, I should probably go pray. And then it's like a guilt trip between like, I'm so comfortable in bed, I should pray, but Allah woke me up, but I should pray. And it's like this constant battle, and then Fajr comes.
You're right. And by the way, like, that's where my thinking has gone lately. If you're waking up in the middle of the night, it just feels as though Allah's waking you up.
Yeah.
It is. It does feel that way. Especially in the middle of the night, you're like, oh no, there's something I need to be asking of God or repenting from, clearly. Because how often do you wake up? Wow, that's a good way to think of it. Opportunity. Mm-hmm. Opportunity, subhanAllah.
Yeah. It's the last third of the night, tahajjud hours, you know? Mm-hmm. Get your da'as in, guys.
I think.
How many of us get invited?
I think I just think about, like, it's not as deep as you guys. I think about, like, for example, like the times that I had like super embarrassing things happening. And I'm like, oh my God, why did I do that? So, oh my God, why did I say that? And like, I have those thoughts so often of like things that I did like 10 years ago. And I'm like, oh my God, Aisha, why did you do that? You know, I have those thoughts. Yeah, that keeps me up at night.
Yeah. Alhamdulillah, I don't do that as often as I used to back in the day, but now I always say I charge to get to the game. It is what it is. You know, it's not what I said. But alhamdulillah, wallahi. And I will say that like what you think about at 3 a.m., I think is like what your subconscious wants to think about. Does that make sense? It's the layer of you that maybe you don't let out in your daily life. So at 3 a.m. is quite, I think it's quite, it's quite interesting when you hear somebody say, oh, this is what, because first of all, people are going to tell you what they're thinking about now. Mm. Someone says to you, oh, what do you think about 3 a.m.? They'll tell you the last, their last time they were thinking. And oftentimes you're the most vulnerable at night. Guys, nighttime, subhanAllah, there's a reason, there's a hikmah about like evening and tahajjud and night being the most vulnerable time of the day, of the night. It's something about that, something about vulnerability that happens, that you just, all you could be is real. All you could be is real, wallahi, with yourself. Even if it's with yourself, all you could be is completely real, because everyone's sleeping.
Mm.
No one is, nobody's observing you. There isn't an audience. There's no playing it up. It's just you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's like, yeah. So that's where that question comes from. That's why I really love this question, because what somebody says when they think about what they're thinking about, it really speaks to, I guess, that vulnerable side, or at least invites it, subhanAllah. Mm-hmm. How did you guys join TDS, first and foremost? How did you guys get here? When did it start? Because, I mean, I know, and it's funny because I think most of us, all of us met last year.
Yeah.
But some of us have been working with each other a year before that, which is even crazier. Mm-hmm. And probably even crazier for listeners to hear that. It's like, yo, we were working on with each other for a year on the internet, and then met each other the following year.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if that's everyone's experience. In building something with others, but that was our story. Mm. So tell me, how did you guys join? How did you join? Let me start actually with Sosin, because I know Sosin's story, but Sosin's story is kind of one of my favorites.
Oh my Sosin, God.
How did we find you? How did we find each other?
Each other. Subhanallah. You know, it's getting to the point, Adam, where I've said the story so many times. Like, I have a condensed elevator pitch. I'm kidding.
Because you said it on tours. We had recorded at one time a podcast episode, but it just didn't air.
Yes.
And so, but you know, it's still my favorite. It still hits because I just love it. And it's everyone's first time too. So.
Okay. Please. So I think, subhanAllah, and I'm so grateful that I discovered the TDS. Maybe because, you know, we're both from Canada, follow, you know, pretty much everybody on my Twitter feed is Canadian. And I started seeing, you know, this Twitter account come up with this really unique logo saying, you know, podcast dropping, you know. And I love podcasts. Previous podcaster myself. I'm like, okay, I'm going to keep an eye out, inshallah. 2021, Ramadan. You know, first episode drops, second episode drops, and there's nothing like that. Second episode, subhanAllah, when the crescent moon becomes full, is forever one of my favorite TDS podcast episodes. And I'm so glad that I got to meet Hilal, and may it, you know, all the rewards of the work that her story, you know, come back to her in tenfold, inshallah, as well as TDS. Amen. So listen to the story, fell in love with you guys. And subhanAllah, I think 2021 was, I am a freelancer and a consultant. So I started my own consultancy in 2020. I left my corporate job in 2019/beginning of 2019. And I've been doing this freelance gig for quite some time. But 2020 is when I leaned into it and I said, you know what, forget this kind of project in, project out approach. Let's kind of create my own sort of database and clients, etc. So 2021 was both a year in which I had the, you know, like the most paying clients, but also a year where it wasn't consistent. So it was like one big project and then it was kind of dead for quite some time. So end of 2021, I finished up a project, started a new project with another podcasting company, only lasted for a couple of months. And then I realized when I dabbled into an actual job, one thing sort of stood out for me, and that is like, what am I doing in life, right? So yes, I started my own thing. Yes, I'm freelancing. I'm no longer having a job. But what am I doing with my life that impacts my rizq? I think that was like the big key, because working with a startup, they feed you this like, we're a startup, we're a family, you know, we lean on each other, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, okay, you can earn income, but there has to be something beyond that, right? There has to be this kind of northern star. And I started having those feelings. And I think at the time that I started listening to the TDS, I had at the back of my mind, it was the actual wrap-up episode. The way that you guys spoke in that wrap-up episode and how, like, for instance, you guys slid in each other's DMs. Let's be honest. You slid in Wasima's DMs. Mm-hmm. I'm going to slid into your DMs. It was just like sliding into each other's DMs. And I'm like, yo.
What's sliding everywhere? Sliding everywhere.
What's stopping me from doing the same? What's stopping me from reaching out to you guys and asking, hey, do you guys need support? And I remember at those times, like towards the end, you guys were struggling putting out episodes on time. And I was like, you know what? Why don't I, like, I've got these podcasting skills. I can help edit, like, for sake of Allah, so that people don't ask when's the next episode. Let me just reach out and say, like, hey, do you guys need help? And then funny story, I go on Umrah, right? I disappear. I go on Umrah. Right after that, it was end of 2021, beginning of 2022. And in that Umrah, I really, really leaned into a dua of, Ya Allah, allow me to do work that is rooted in you. That was my entire Umrah dua. SubhanAllah. And right then and there, I believe Allah answered my dua. I met a sister. Her name is Maria. We got a chance to meet her at GMW. Maria was like, hey, sis, tell me about you. I told her what's going on. I'm like, hey, I just came off fresh off projects. I don't have any work. She put me in touch with an organization and a Muslim organization. SubhanAllah, I felt like Allah just answered my dad right then and there. You know what I mean? I'm like, mashallah, this is beautiful. So I come back. I have two interviews lined up. One with you guys, finally reach out to back to me after your whole sort of North America, Ohio, Minnesota tour. And then I also have this Muslim organization interview. I do both. First, I do them and, you know, immediate red flags. And I think the red flags for me were more along the lines of there wasn't this, you know, Rouhaniya and that spirituality sort of coming out during our interview was mostly like, are you available in Ramadan? It's our busiest time. Da-da-da-da-da. You know, we really need you to X, Y, and Z. Like, there wasn't like, we're doing this for a higher purpose. You know what I mean? I'm like, and I'm like, you know what? No, I'm okay. Even though it was a paid gig. Then you said no to a paid gig.
That's crazy. Because you don't know why it's crazy, because we didn't have much to offer Sosin.
No, I know that. I know that.
When she came to us, subhanAllah.
I didn't even know what to expect. You know what I mean? Like, there was no expectation whatsoever. But I think what made me feel good, and I remember you guys interviewed me, both you and Muna, you guys asked for my CV, went through my CV, you know what I mean, and you're like, okay, you're asking me all these questions, but more importantly, you're like, welcome to the team, and I'm like, okay, and I didn't know what to expect, so I did create boundaries. I was like, okay, I'm only going to be able to limit 20 hours a week, I'm only going to be able to do this, I'm only going to be able to do that, but because I didn't know what to expect, right? But immediately after that first town hall meeting, everybody's energies, what you guys were doing, I just, you know, fell in love. But also, guess what happened? Right after, you know, I was interviewing, obviously I was looking for work, from literally, I think it was December of 2021, up until April, I had no work. So not only had no choice but to do put all my energy in TDS, I literally had no work coming in. So all my, you know, clients dried up. All my connections were like saying, hey, there's nothing available right now. And it was almost as if Allah was saying, Sosin, you said you wanted to do things for the sake of Allah. Do you really mean it? Are you really about it? Let's see, you know, so it's like December, January, February, March, April. And mind you, I was like literally the breadwinner of the house. I was, you know, paying rent. And subhanAllah, that time, my mom got a job. You know, she was looking for, like, she was following up on this lead for a year and a half. And subhanAllah, it came in as soon as I stopped having work. And it immediately, like, the relief of at least the rent being paid was taken care of. You know what I mean? And for 4 to 5 months of my life, I felt like, yes, I don't have an income coming in, but
I felt that there was barakah in my time, whatever my siblings would kind of give me to support me, or I felt like there was barakah in the time, and I felt just very motivated. And I remember you guys at that time saying like, hey, why don't you lean into sales? Like, why don't you, you know, figure out like the whole sales opportunity within TDS. And at that point, we weren't doing any sponsorship deals. And it's funny because it wasn't something I wanted to do. You guys were pushing me like, just figure it out. I'm like, fine. They're like, just do your own sales agency. I'm like, that's not what I do. I do marketing. It's not the same, you know.
Money.
It was because you have to remember. You have to remember we weren't making any income at that time. We were literally, and subhanAllah, you know, I don't think like it was important for us at the time to make money, because our whole thing was we created this this platform to tell stories, and we saw that it was really doing great work. Yeah. It was supporting people. It was allowing people to kind of replenish their iman. It was encouraging to read the Quran, encouraging them to see their life and their struggles differently. So for us, it was like, yo, like, there's so much barakah in this. Like, that's all we can think about. Oh, there's good in this. Like, there's so much khayr in this. Yeah, our return was greater. It was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah. Even though I will say there was times where, and I talked about this in the first wrap up in season one, was that it was a struggle figuring out how we were going to do things ethically. Mm. Like, you can't tell people to be a part of khayr and not support them. Because it's like, everybody has their limits. And so a time where I was like, oh my God, like this has to make sense. Like, we want people to produce their best work and support this project, but we also have to support their life. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And their well-being, and like, can TDS do it? Can it not? And so when we went to you and we're like, so sad, wallahi, if you can monetize this to some degree and allow us to pay, you know, like our people in the best manner, wallahi, like you'll do us a great deal. And even though you were thinking, I don't know how this is going to work.
Remember our first call too? Remember after where we were decimated? Like, why were your prices changed all of a sudden? Because we finally discovered what sponsorship deal packages look like, you know? But it's hilarious because, like, subhanAllah, I didn't know anything about this. I know podcasting, but monetizing podcasting was something very, very new to me. And then all of a sudden you're like, please go ahead. And I'm like, okay, fine. But imagine that actual first, Ramadan season that I joined and was the first time that I was able to get us our first sponsorship deal, right? With HHRD. Mm-hmm. That was the first income I saw of 2022. Yeah, that was the first income I saw obviously you guys were like, we'll give you a cut. I'm like, cut of what? What am I bringing in? I have no idea. And so Allah gave us our first ever paycheck, and I got a percentage, and that was my first. And then right after that, it was, I kid you not, client after client after client. I am not joking.
It was crazy.
Ramadan after that, it was like, I went from doing nothing to like, all of a sudden I can't handle it. It's like, I'm overwhelmed. And I'm like, subhanAllah. And this is when I was like, complaining either way. When you don't have it, you're complaining. When you have too much, you're complaining. Like, either way, you're complaining.
Yeah, subhanAllah.
That's how we were created as human beings. But, you know, just kind of wrapping it up and passing it on to the others, I think what's beautiful about the dua that I made is we didn't see each other for a whole year. We kind of like worked together all of 2022 behind the scenes. And then 2023, I really enjoyed the experience of doing, you know, Umrah at the end of the year, sort of starting the beginning of a year in sort of with khair. So repeated it in end of 2022. It was your Umrah, obviously, did the whole Had I Known episode. You explained the story of how you did that. And I didn't know this was going on behind the scenes. You didn't share any of that. But anyways, we met in Medina for the first time. And I really think the emphasis of my dad. It was almost like, you know, second, third fold, you know, kind of repeating itself.
Because it's crazy because you started with wanting to do khayr. And then we worked together. Mm. And then Allah allowed us to meet
same place. Yeah.
You know, where it started. I remember thinking, I can't believe that I'm meeting Sosa Abdullahi. outside the Prophet's message. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like, yeah. What better? What a better reunion! Yeah. Reunion.
Because we met like, in the alam of the souls. Yeah, we met in the world of souls.
This is a reunion. We met in the world. We met in the world of souls. I feel like our souls already knew each other. And I just kept thinking, you know, I kept thinking, so you can find this so corny. I was like, one day I'm gonna tell our kids that I met their mom outside the Prophet's Masjid. I said, I physically met your mom. I said, that's a testament of your mother. Your mother is always, you know, in the best of places. That's just who she is. Oh, you know what I'm saying? And so I remember thinking that I'm like, oh, I love that. I love that meet cute. Our meet cute was honestly the best. I really think it's iconic. You know, Alhamdulillah, TDS is an incorporated company and it's its own business. But wallahi, it's a family business. Mm-hmm. It is a family business. I'm telling you, it is the most family business you'll ever see. You'll see it in the way that we interact with each other. You see it in the way that we fight. You see it in the way that we reconcile. You see it in the way that we speak to each other. But Aisha, how did you join? Because last time I checked, Solson and you had the same time period.
Yeah, I think just like a month or something, or maybe a couple of weeks. I was doing dishes. It was like 6 p.m. doing dishes.
It started with dishes.
And Huya, who is an extremely good friend of mine, who's actually a producer on TDS, she randomly sends me this podcast and she's like, oh, listen, Aisha, listen to it. I'm like, okay, so I'll just listen to it. And I've never listened to a podcast in my life. Like, this was like the first time I'm listening to a podcast. And I was listening it while doing dishes. And the whole night I was just listening to every single episode that was out at that time because I absolutely loved it. And it got me thinking. I remember talking with Hoya and I was like, you know, we need that French version of TDS. Like, it's definitely something that we're missing in France is, you know, a sisterhood of Muslim women. We need a podcast like that. It was so like, you know, out there, I need to contact TDS. So I just randomly contacted you guys. You know, I was like super formal. I was sure that TDS was a corporation that was like, I was going to go through you know, like in the whole HR system. So I like, you know, my whole message is me giving my little CV of who I am, what I do, what schools I went to. I even put my schools, you know, and kind of saying that I wanted to create a French TDS. I remember telling Koya that I did this and she was like what, you just contacted them? Like, why would you do that? And you guys answered like during the night, because it was obviously, you know, during the night, and you guys were like, okay, well, how about we have a meeting tomorrow? And I remember telling Koya, are you down for a meeting? And she's like, yeah, of course I'm down. Like, we had no idea what to expect. And you guys were super open about, you know, having a French TDS. And you were also saying like, oh, you know, we need someone in legal. And so I studied law and I was like, okay, yeah. I thought it was going to be kind of like, you know, annex. Like, I'm going to do the French TDS and then do some, you know, law work, legal work. But then the French, you know, project didn't really work out for a number of reasons. And you wanted to really like, you know, set up the company. You had the company already set up, but it was like, you know, your own company and it was in Canada. And so we're like, okay, we're going to set up the company in the US and do all these like, you know, the actual legal framework of the company. And so that's kind of how I started working for TDS. And so I'm doing legal, Hoya. And, you know, it's now doing production work, which she absolutely loves. And, yeah, so I have my best friend in the team, and I met all of you guys, which feels like family, which are basically family. And so, yeah, alhamdulillah. And then exactly one year later, I met you guys in Dubai. And since then, I did 5 different places with Adler in 2023, which is crazy. Yeah, I've never traveled as much with anybody except my parents, ever. And I did that the first year of meeting you.
We have stories. We have stories. Subhanallah. Nora, I know you're a new TDS member. You know what I'm saying? You joined us in 2023, but you've always been a long-term friend of TDS. Like, how did you join? Why did you join? And what two keys about TDS behind the scenes?
Yeah, you're.
you're right in saying, obviously, I will always and forever be a fangirl of TDS, whether I'm a part of it now or not, right? And for me, like, the story started back on Clubhouse, which is really awkward to say out loud. You know, it's really awkward to say out loud. Yeah. That era felt like such a fever dream, right? But that's where I was introduced to you. That's where we met online. And I was just so taken aback by, like, your passion and determination and just, like, just joy talking about TDS. And I was like, damn, this girl, she gonna make it, right? Yeah. And we just kind of, like, formed a bond and a friendship online distance, you know, all that good stuff, and kind of just maintained our relationship in that way where we would catch up with each other. We would kind of, like, update each other on our lives, things that are happening with TDS, like, more so, I guess, like a supportive ear, if anything, and never really thought about me ever joining TDS. But I think the last 2 years for me have been such, like, a transitional period, career-wise, because there were ups and the downs, and you guys know about that, right? I'm not going to get too much into detail, but I think for me, I realized the thing that was absolutely missing was, like, doing something for the sake of Allah, like being in these corporate spaces and doing work for other people and building stuff from scratch, literally just for them to make millions of money, millions of pounds, dollars, cash monies, and not, like, A, receiving that return for myself, and then also B, like, it not being fulfilling in any capacity, like, the way people would gloat about, oh my gosh, we landed this account and we did this and we did that. And I'd just be like, cool, you know, like, that's great. Working with, like, really great brands and, like, stakeholders across different industries, that was cool. But I also just felt like this is not feeding my soul. Like, I'm really missing the heart work, if I'm going to be honest. And I think I've always been somebody who has tried to do heart work alongside, like, the professional corporate galley career. And I've worked on a lot of things behind the scenes, alhamdulillah. Yeah. And it was just, like, it got to a point where, like, you know, you do things for your Sabili land, you do things for yourself as well, right? But I was just really wanting it to be consistent. And then, like, we were talking about TDS last year and, like, you know, just the restructure, I guess, or whatever, which way you want to describe it, and what TDS is going to look like in the future. And I guess you knew that I had that experience kind of, like, building things from scratch, strategy, having more of a, like, corporate mentality when it comes to things, which I really got a bit of a g-check when I came into TDS, because I was like, this way and blah, blah, blah. And it was like, oh, okay, we're gonna not do it that way. But I have it's all been a learning. And yeah, like, I think it's the main thing for me is kind of that culture element, like, how do we build a foundation where TDS operates with the best culture in mind, with Islamic principle, but still having a little bit of that structure in place. And it can be really challenging sometimes to kind of go from old to new ways of working, right? But I think that's just part of, like, people management, that's just part of people engagement, that's just part of, like, learning and doing at the same time. We're literally learning and doing at the same time. The gag is,
literally,
we are a well-oiled machine, but in true TDS fashion, right? So we do things our way, and alhamdulillah, yeah, they work. And so what we're trying to do is just build on that. So I think
it's part of growth. Of, like, it's part of the story of growth, right? The story of growth.
It's a story of growth, yeah.
It's a story of growth.
I was going to say, Adar, when Noura is talking, like, I'm reminded of this particular ayah. So I feel like all of us at TDS embody this ayah from Surah Al-Insan, where, you know, they're talking about people who give for the sake of Allah. And when they're asked, they say, we don't need
you know, thanks because we do this for, you know, we don't want thanks from you guys or anything. We are afraid of Allah and we are afraid of a day of judgment, right? And that's exactly what we embody, because what we do is not because we want people to pat us on the back. We don't do this because we want people to say, oh, we're the best. We're really doing this because A, we fear Allah and the day of judgment. And we do really want something to, when we stand in front of Allah and say like, why did you do this? And it's to say, yeah, Allah, I did it for you. My energy, my time, my effort, those tears, those fights, whatever it is, those wins and those tears. It's because we did it for the sake of Allah. May Allah accept it of us. Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen.
Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. Ameen. I feel like, you know, the thing that I love the most about the directors is that, yes, we operate so professionally together, but we're also good friends. Mm. And I know people always say, oh, that's not a good business structure to have. You should have this, like, only, like, business. I'm like, not when you're doing hard work. That's impossible. When you're doing hard work and you're doing work for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the work that you do, you have to be companions. You know, you have to be people who are seeking truth and seeking goodness and seeking Allah and seeking, you know, that brotherhood, that sisterhood. First of all, it doesn't even make sense on a value level that we don't also have sisterhood within each other, yet we're the digital sisterhood. That doesn't make any sense. Mm. Like, ethically and, like, morally, like, what does that even mean? And so I know for all of us it's so important that what we say out loud into our audience and to our listeners is exactly what we're also penetrating and enacting behind the closed doors, behind the scenes. It's so important for us. And I'll be honest with you, last year I've gotten to know a lot of Muslim businesses, and subhanAllah, and I say it's really out of love and also a lesson for me, that everyone is acting the values they present outside. Mm. And so for me, it was like, as a person who works in a team, I was like, no, culturally, this needs to feel like exactly what we say. On from the podcast team, to the directors, to the volunteers, to, you know, the communities that we're inspiring, it needs to be on all level there. And so I'm really proud, because I would say 2023 was the year of, like, that relationship. Like I would say last year, like, we built bridges with each other in terms of our, like, I feel like I know about all of you guys. I feel like I met your parents. I feel like I know your house. I feel like I'm invested in you guys in a different way. Like, personally, me, I don't know why, but personally, me, I'm, like, invested in everyone's personal life. Up until, and maybe I'm a bit annoyed because I'd be in everyone's business. But, you know, because it's like, I want to take care of you. I want everybody to be happy. I want everyone to feel like what it should feel like. Your contributions, what you do at TDS, even if you were to leave, it would live here forever. Mm-hmm. Your work, you would, like, if I could make it a plaque, like, if I could imagine TDS headquarters, wallahi thum wallahi, this is what I would do. I would have a wall of every person that worked at TDS ingrained on the wall. Oh. Ingrained. Even if they're 5 minutes, I don't give a damn. 5 minutes. If we were there. And when people ask me, what is this wall with all these names? I would say, these are all the people who came to work for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their impact is there. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to say that I'm trying to account, but this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accounts. For everything, no name is forgotten, right? And so we shouldn't forget either. All the people who participated. And so for me, like there's people who've left and came to TDS, left, came to TDS. I have all their names in their heads. I'm waiting for the headquarters, literally writing everyone's name. But the day we get a headquarters, I think I actually just, I don't know. I dream about it often. But can I tell you guys something? Before I go back to Aisha, there was one dream that happened last year. There was multiple dreams that I dreamt of 2022 that happened in 2023. And I know, ooh, we all did.
Detail.
Every single one of us. I know every single one of us. So I'm going to start with myself, okay? I remember, it's also because, alhamdulillah, everything at TDS, we have records, like either written records, audio records of these du'as or hopes. And then we always go back and we're like, oh, it actually happened exactly as we imagined and even better. So one of them was, I always dreamed of a billboard that happened in 2023. Mm. The billboard, I'm going to be real with you, I didn't think the billboard was going to happen as fast as it happened.
It was such, you know, a crazy time, the billboard. It was like, Selsun was like, hey, look what's up. Look what's billboard. Like,
so I should explain how it happened. Explain how it happened. Because we kept everybody in the dark. Like, it was like a surprise.
Adrif sends us a message and she's like, everybody, super important. You guys have to connect at this time and put your cameras on. like, why, what's going on? Put your cameras on, be there, don't be late, blah, blah, blah. And so everybody's just waiting, and I think it's like kind of like just you're doing like small talk, but you're also stressed. We don't know what's going on. And we see Lamisa walking. And then you see like Aliska's camera, and she's just walking, and she doesn't have her, you just like see her feet and, you know, whatever. And we're like, what the hell is it going? And then it was kind of chaotic. It went kind of everywhere. And then Lamisa's showing, but she can't really see very well. And so Susan loses patience, and she's just like, we have a billboard, and we have 18
billboards
everywhere.
I have the photo.
No, but it sounded, you guys, you have to you remember, there's like 20 people
there
on a call.
There was so many. It sounded like everybody.
Let me tell you something. Me too. I was there in Trafalgar Square waiting for the billboard to come up just to take a picture. And I was thinking, oh my goodness, this is taking a little while. So I can only imagine what it was like.
Yeah, it's 10 seconds every other time. So it's
everyone waiting.
So we're all waiting. But luckily, I got a photo of the proof. So I didn't have to wait for poor Lamisa, who was there for like a good hour trying to wait for the right time for all of us to, you know what I mean? It was hilarious, though. And everybody was like, what's happening? Is it, you know, and it was a tough time we were going through when that happened. So everybody thought the worst. They didn't think it was going to be good news. They thought it was something terrible. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then we...
Because Adler isn't like, oh my God, we have a surprise for you.
No, she didn't.
She was just like, put your cameras and be there. That's it.
Have their face on. Yeah. And I remember a lot other people joined that didn't think it. Like, they were ready for a throwdown. You know what I mean? It ends up being this reveal of like, you know, like the billboard, and we're like, oh, we're on a billboard.
And it was, and the best part was it was on Eid weekend. So we just finished Ramadan, and I'm sure like all of us was making dua about our personal lives. We're all making dua for our families, TDS, and then you just come out the month of Ramadan on Eid, and you see essentially TDS on how many billboards across Europe. Like, what was it?
Ireland,
Scotland,
what was it? Wales, London, Leicester Square.
Wales, London.
It was insane. It was insane.
Oh, my God. It was just the most iconic. And it was around the same time, like, obviously, that the UK did the Ramadan lights, right? So it was just, everybody was feeling.
The vibes were vibing.
Real, like, scene. The vibes were vibing. Again, especially in London, the vibes were vibing in London. And it was just iconic that we got to participate in those vibes by everybody knowing this is a platform that talks about sisters' stories on a really deep and honest level, and in hopes to inspire people to draw close to Allah Ta'ala. And here it is on a big billboard. And I was just sitting there, and I looked at, I remember the first thing I said to was, Sima, that's your art.
Yeah.
Like on a mat, I was looking. I was like, "Do you? Are you like peeping that this? That's your art. Like that's your art on a screen like this, in a country, in countries that you know maybe Islamophobia is quite high. You know what I'm saying? Like you know the experience of Muslims was is not the best in. And here it is that we're like staking our claim. So it was just such a powerful moment. I could not even shake the feeling." Like, if Allah said that was just going to give us that whole year, that was sufficient for me, to be honest. Because he allowed us to reach new heights that just I could not fathom. I'm going to be real. After her name is Hannah, I thought, okay, we hit a really high peak. Maybe we're not going to see another crazy peak for a minute. But that from there, what, 6 months later, billboard.
And then 5 seconds before that nomination. And then like, right after that winning. Like, let's be honest.
That
it
was
a
crazy
time.
Yeah.
And I have to emphasize, like, really for us, it was innam al-usri yusra. Because on one hand, we were winning accolade after accolade, but I also know that it was a time that of growing pains for us. You know what I mean? So I think outwardly, everything looked beautiful. Everything looked like, you know, remember we were apparently millionaires.
Oh, yeah, that's so funny.
I mean,
which, by the way, people still think we're millionaires. People think we're harboring wealth, by the way.
Have a trust fund. TDS trust fund.
You know, subhanAllah, you know, can I tell you something so sad my mom said? Because my mom was hearing those rumors
too.
She said,
right?
She's like, people think, like, why? She kicked me. She goes, why? Why is like, how do we still live in the hood and everyone outside the hood thinks you're a billionaire? And then my dad said to me, he goes, they should know. If we were millionaires, wouldn't we be out the hood? Okay? And so, my mom said to me, mom was like, but this is a good thing. I said, why is this a good thing? Is that people see the value in the work that you're doing. And they see the immediate success. And so for them, it's just dunya. They're quantifying it with wealth. And then my mom says to her, imagine in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what that success means to him, or what you've contributed, what you've done, you know, means in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I was like, if the people on the dunya is thinking this, you know, and they're thinking like, oh, you know, they attain this success and they amass all this wealth. In reality, you guys are literally still in, what does Safiya call it? She said, we're still in our first couple of years of when the Prophet ﷺ was calling to Islam.
Yeah,
you know how hard it was.
Yeah,
grind years, like the years where he was being prosecuted, he was being beaten, he was being... It's like we're still in that era, and I'm not saying I'm not comparing to the Prophet, but I'm saying the hardship of doing something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hardness of it. We're not quite at glory. We're not quite at ease. We're still very much bootstrapping. We're still very much doing our own. And the thing is, we're going to be in this position because we're independent. We're not taking anything easy. We're not going to do anything haram.
Can we just click for that? Like,
yeah,
we are independent. Yeah. Like, yeah, we're not beholden.
We are independent
to any organization, company, stakeholders. Like, we're actually running in a way where we dictate our terms. Exactly. Mm-hmm. People think like injections of capital are coming in, and it's like, no, we're actually getting all of this revenue ourselves, alhamdulillah, and
through Allah. Yeah, guys, first, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have to, I know, but the, like, let me like re-emphasize this, guys, because this is not me. Or who managed to, like, everybody's like, oh, as a marketing person, you've done a lot for STDS. Allah facilitated everything. You know what I mean? I just happened to email Spotify, so get on a call with them, and then Allah facilitated that. It's like that, you know, 10% perspiration, and then khalas, the rest is taken care of by Allah. We put an application, it's taken care of by Allah, and we won a nomination. Like, I don't think people understand that this is not us. Yes, there is tawakkul, there is ijtihad, but it's from Allah. You know what I mean? So I don't want us to like think that this is from us. Wallahi, it's from Allah.
Hey there, besties! It's Adil here from the Digital Steward Podcast. And let me tell you, okay? I need to put you on the best travel experience I have had the pleasure of going on, which you won't want to miss out. TDS has collaborated with Sisters Getaway to create a 7-day and 6-night retreat to either Marrakesh, Morocco, or Granada, Spain, with 20 incredible souls like yourself. Now, this isn't just any trip, okay? It's a sanctuary for all women seeking to connect with listeners, maybe hit the reset button like we all desperately need. And trust me when I say this, I had the best time last year. Like, I have to say, it was such a game changer. I have never traveled in that way. As a Muslim woman, especially one who wears hijab and a niqab, like, you know, like me, traveling alone can feel really daunting. I mean, straight up scary. Okay? Scary, spooky, whatever you want to call it. The anxiety of the booking flights, navigating airports, arriving in a foreign land among 20 women you've never met. Trust me, I get it. The worry about fitting in, being judged, or even breaking the news to skeptical family members? Crazy. But here's the thing. Every single woman on our past trip has felt the same way. And let me tell you, what transpires during those 6 days is beyond words. I mean, the sisterhood, the bonds, the stories, it was just everything and more. The best part is you get to be in a secluded location, enjoying amazing weather, stunning, relaxing scenery. Man, the scenery was actually unreal. Like, you have to see it for yourself. Rich Islamic history and culture. You know I love Islamic history. If you love that, you're going to love this. Visiting sites like bucket lists like Alhambra and the Madrasa Ben Yusuf. I mean, come and join us. Don't even think for a second. We're going on May 19th to May 25th to Morocco, and May 26th to June 1st to Spain. And what promises to be a journey of a lifetime, I ensure it. Trust me, it's not just a trip. It's a life-changing experience waiting to unfold. Visit go.sistersgetaway.com/TDS or head to our link in bio to sign up. That's go.sistersgetaway.com/TDS. Or again, head to our Instagram page or in the description below in our episode in the link in bio to sign up. See you guys there. Bye.
It is.
It is. Indeed it is. And it's something that we often say. And also, you know, if work, if something that we're doing is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that means that we need to also sacrifice a lot. And that also means capital, right? Not taking money on the table when we know that this is not good for the for our mission. Does that make sense? Like, guys, money, oh my God. I promise you, if we wanted to, we wouldn't be struggling the way we are. If we wanted to, wallahi, thumma wallahi, we could do things like quite easily.
No,
but do we want to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. Do we want to do things that are harming? No. Does that mean that we're going to probably be in a ghetto for a minute? Yes. Are we willing to do that? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Have we been doing that?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then guess what? You know what I say? I say alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided us to make those right calls, to be the right people. Because, guys, I'm just so grateful in general that the directors have a strong, like, stance. Yeah. Like, none of us are willing to do what is wrong. And that's what I'm, like, so grateful for. Even when I step back and I'm just watching everyone make decisions about really big things or things that come to our table, nobody's wavering. Everyone's like, nah, haram. It's not even, we don't even blink a bat an eye. I remember, I'll give you an example. We had a program.
I knew that was coming.
I wanted to bring this up because I want to give the audience a tangible examples. So, Sosa, can you, I guess, describe, like, what programmatic ads are?
So programmatic ads are just ads that run through the podcast network. Essentially, if you're watching YouTube, it would be the ads while you're watching a video. It would come like those unskippable ads. So it's the same thing, but for the podcast. And essentially, because it takes 1/10 of a second for any ad to then, you know, insert itself in our podcast. So we basically allocate spots in our entire episode to give us residual income, right? And so any ad could basically run as long as we check on the back end and ensure that we're not running ads to do with alcohol, we're not running ads to do with certain categories. But we really don't have control of the kind of ads that we're running on our show. And so you basically got a message, right, where someone told you, hey, I've noticed that you guys are running ads and the ads are playing music, right? And they're really loud and it's really, really uncomfortable and I don't feel comfortable listening to music. And so that created a whole conversation that I remember. Obviously, I was tasked to go and find out if there's a solution to not picking programmatic ads. Or having a choice of picking ads that don't have music. But sadly, because it takes 1/10 of a second to choose that ad, we decided to forego not having that income. Even if it meant a couple of $100 up to $1,000 a month, we decided not to get that because it just was against our principle.
And it wasn't a hard decision.
It wasn't. It was just more technical.
If you couldn't allow us to pick, the programmatic ads could not allow us to pick the kind of ads that show up, then it was obvious that we weren't going to do it. And the thing is, the crazy part is, and I really want everyone to understand, is that it gave us great residual income. Let me tell you, it brought money, like great money. But I'm sorry, in the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what do we have to say if we're, you know, doing things? And you know how we feel about music at TDS. We do not use music. It's literally our code of ethics. Music is not negotiable in content that we're creating, especially about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Why would we do that? That we don't need to do that. It's not necessary. And so for ads to have music, that was kind of a slap in the face. We're like, what? That's just not what we're about. Which makes us a bit complicated. It makes our work complicated. It makes collaboration with us complicated. Because essentially what we're daring to do is to be outliers, you know, in the podcasting world. Here we are at the top of our game, yet we're saying no, no here, no there, no there, while somebody else in our position would say yes, 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 yes. But, you know, this reminds me also of another thing that happened this year was we got invited to Spotify. Spotify! Iconic! When I cannot tell you guys, I felt like rags to riches. How dare we show up at Spotify, okay? In my naqab, in our hijabs, in our just full-on, you know, Canadian, British, UAE, like we just came in there. And I just remember thinking the day before, I was like, oh my God, like, has there ever been, like, I kept thinking about, has there ever been, like, visible Muslim women in Spotify like this? You know, and I just kept thinking, this is so, I just never knew this could happen. I don't know, I just kept thinking, this is so strange. This is so strange. Because obviously Spotify is like, it's also a platform to do music. So obviously there are people in there who are musicians, dropping albums, and you just see a Nagabi.
Do you know what was so interesting? It's like as soon as you walked into the building, I could sense the eyes on us, but specifically you, being like, what is this person doing in this place? And you are being met, right, by very senior people within Spotify in in the UK team.
Yeah.
And so you could just see kind of people going about their daily business, their tasks, whether it was running to the cafe or running to the next meeting or whatever it may be, kind of taking a bit of a second to be like, you know, that glance, that blue still look, to be like, what are they doing here? Why are they with so-and-so? Who are they? You know? And I just was like, this is what sets us apart. Earlier you talked about, you know, being in proximity to other Muslim organizations, businesses, founders, right? And I think the differentiation between us and those people, and they're doing great work, is that we stand on Islamic principle, right? There's a difference between being a Muslim who does something, right? I can be a Muslim artist for all you know, who sings and plays, you know, instruments and all this kind of stuff. Or I can be somebody who is Muslim who is trying to strive upon Islamic principle and doesn't deviate away from that. And there's no negotiation really for us in that way. And so for us and for you, Adel, to be able to turn up at a place of business where people associate it with a particular thing, and you kind of change that narrative essentially by just walking in the way that you have because of the work that you've done and the work that the team has done, it's really groundbreaking. I don't think people should take it for granted in any shape, 100%. Way or form.
What I love the most after having traveled a bit with Adar this year, last year now, Adar has given me such a huge lesson when it comes to confidence. And I'll tell you why. And I don't know if it's like, I think you know, some people, it's like fake it till you make it, just fake confidence in places that you don't feel comfortable. And I don't think Adar does that so much. I myself, and I wear hijab, and I sometimes will not go to certain places because I am afraid of feeling uncomfortable. Adar is a niqabi that has been in places where people have never seen a niqabi ever in their life. And you have such an elegant way of not caring. And it's not even like in a condescending. I feel like if I have to be in a setting where I need to show people I don't care or like be overconfident, I'm gonna be kind of condescending in the way I'm doing it. It's kind of like, you know, I don't care, but like in a more harsh way. You're just in a super smiley, I really don't care, let me live my life, I'm still gonna enjoy this even though you're not happy. And it has like, it's such a lesson, because now I feel like I'm starting, you know, little by little, I'm like, oh, let me be more like Adar. Let me be more like Adar, you know? And I find it so cool. It was Spotify. It also was like in Spain. And you're just always like, you're not like overly smiling to show people so much. You're just literally living your life. You just like, you're going to be like, oh, everybody's staring at me. Okay, that's it. You're not going to be as bothered. Yeah. And I find it super, super cool.
Yeah, I mean, you have to. I mean, I'll be honest with you. At the beginning of my niqabi journey, I was kind of perplexed by the eyes, and it did confuse me, and it did make me uncomfortable. But then I learned that great lesson of, like, you give people power. You either give people power or you don't. And you just can't give people power. And that's not just on niqab, but even just hijab in general. We can all feel uncomfortable. We can be made uncomfortable based on our race. We can be made uncomfortable based on our hijab. Or even sometimes we're made uncomfortable if we're not wearing hijab. In spaces, you know, in Muslim spaces, right? And so we're always going to be made to feel like we shouldn't be there. But I think we decide ultimately if we should be somewhere or not. We shouldn't let others decide that for us. But, you know, Spotify, it's crazy because when the first thing I thought about when I walked in was, oh my God, alhamdulillah, there's going to be a girl, a Muslim girl after us who's not going to have to do with what, you know, like we're paving that, I guess that lawn forward. So that's what I kept thinking about. I say, yo, today, the next girl that walks in here, might have a little bit less eyes, might have a little less pushback, and might be inspired to not compromise because they saw us do it. Or maybe they didn't see us do it, but they feel our remnants. Like, they'll come in and they'll be like, maybe they'll meet a representative and be like, yeah, you know, we've had hijabis here before. We've actually had the digital sisterhood before. I don't know if you guys know about them. But yeah, like, these were their terms. And then it might make you think and say, well, if they didn't back down on these terms, then why should I back down on those terms? You know what I'm saying? I dream of those moments, not for myself, but for others. You know, we're just in the ghetto. All of us are just fighting for our life. We're really in the thick of the war. I really think Allah SWT is testing us. He's like, I'm going to give you all these successes, but I want to see if you guys are going to stand 10 toes down. Like, I'm gonna throw everything at you, people, agencies, opportunities, billboards, but I want to know. Like, success can make people change, right? Success is what makes people change. Like, you know, when you're being tested with hardship, so sin, let's be real. You know, it's easy to be obedient 100%. To Allah when you're struggling, right? Because you're already on your knees. And the only way up is looking up. But when you're up, do you look up and recognize someone's above you? SubhanAllah, it's success that people forget. Wallahi, it's success is one of, I personally think, one of the most difficult kind of tests. Because it is so easy to forget Allah into success. Allah is so easy. It's so easy when you're struggling to say, Allah, help me. You know? But it's not as easy to say, Allah,
alhamdulillah.
Like, I'm grateful to you. Like, I'm, you know, like, I'm deeply grateful, you know, and I want to be obedient even in times of success to you. Even when I'm faced with, hey, this will make my life easier, this will make me more bigger, this will give me this, this will give me that. But it's like, Allah, I don't want success that isn't rooted in you. And that's different. And success rooted in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wallahi, thumma wallahi, is not easy. It is so hard. It is so hard. It is so hard. It is so, 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 so hard. But I like to believe it's going to be the most rewarding, right? Because you're exchanging one success for another, right? Allah says in the Quran, He says, don't exchange my deen for a small price. Don't exchange my religion for a small price. And that's what I think about when I think about TDS. I think about the ayah. You know, we always find ourselves in a position of exchange. And we're always wondering, does this exchange, you know, a good exchange? If it's not, no. If it is, then bismillah. But I found that this year, we just kept holding back. And Allah just kept giving it to us. Better and bigger opportunities. But alhamdulillah, wallahi, 2023, man. I'm not gonna lie, it was the most chaotic year.
Yeah, still 2023. But I joined after the pinnacle of the chaos that you guys experienced, right? From the outside, looking just on, you know, the way you guys carried yourself on social media, the continuation of the podcast and even just the presence, you wouldn't have thought that anything awry was happening behind the scenes, right? And that just speaks to the level of care that you have for the work that is being done that is really inspiring, because we could easily, in any of us, be put in situations like this, right? Whether working for different companies or different people, let's say, and bring the mess to the internet for people to see.
Alhamdulillah, and, Allah, you know, definitely.
Vocalize problems to the world. And I think one of the things that I really respect about everyone is just how much they care for each other and how well they think of each other, even when things are going a bit wobbly. It's such a beautiful reminder that, like, you can do things with ihsan regardless of what the situation is. And it's a reminder as well for, and we say this quite a lot now, like, if you can do the small things best, then you can do the big things better, or as best as they can be. And you guys just showcase how, like, that has been consistent. Like, you guys do the small things really good, so that when the big things arise, you still carry that level of consistency.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. I just want to, you know, say my thanks to Allah SWT for inviting the people he needed to invite in order to do this work. Because if any of us was a side two to the right and two to the left, it would have just fell apart. But somehow, subhanAllah, it's like we balance each other out.
You know what it reminds me of, actually?
That could,
The hadith about conscripted souls. Soldiers. Mm. Correction. Conscripted soldiers. How, like, our souls met in the previous plane, you know, when all of our souls were presented to Adam alayhi salam. And, like, this is your... These are your children, essentially. And, like, in that realm, there were souls that we got along with and souls that we didn't. And I think in this lifetime, we just call it vibes. Oh, I don't like the vibe of that person, you know? Subhanallah, like, Allah's just brought together conscripted souls that recognize each other in the previous lifetime. He gave each other the nod, you know, like the nod of, hey, bro, hey, sis.
I do feel like sometimes I feel like we would have been, I feel like we were neighbors. I feel like sometimes I don't feel like you guys were far from the block. Like, I don't think.
Yeah.
I think we all lived in the same block.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know which block area, who visited who, but it definitely feels like we all have some area code.
He came to knock on his door.
We lived in the same area code. We were on each area code, same area code, same postal code, definitely. But, you know, alhamdulillah for that. And only Allah SWT could do that. Mm. So, alhamdulillah for this year. I guess my, you know, I have two more questions for you guys. My first question to you guys is, like, obviously this is our sunnah, which is basically we share things that we hope for, and then inshallah, if they come true, they come true. But is there anything in 2024 that you hope to accomplish this year, or you're working towards, or you would like TDS get to? Like, let's say, when would you like, we don't even talk about your role in specific, but what would you like to see TDS get to? Last year for me was, the billboards, Spotify, and the third was actually, and I didn't even mention this, but when we went to Doha, Qatar, and we went to Umrah together, even though the whole TDS group didn't go, but wallahi, I remember making dua to Allah, I said, oh Allah, allow the TDS group, like team, to go to Umrah together. And even though it was only three or four of us that went, it still was like an answered dua. And I remember thinking, like, I remember doing tawaf, I'm like, I can't believe I'm doing tawaf with Sosa and Nura, and we just came from a business conference. Like, we're in rook mode. And what we're doing is we're working for the sake of Allah SWT. We're striving. And then we're going to Allah SWT to resolve our affairs. And we're doing Umrah together. I literally cried.
I find it so beautiful how we got planned. I just have to say.
Since that trip, I know for sure one or two du'as were answered expeditiously.
Really?
You know. Right, personal.
Oh yes, I do. Yeah,
and I just found that to be so wild, because that was my first Umrah, and it's the one thing that I'll look back on in years to come, and that I can tell my children, bi'idhnillah, that like I did my first Umrah with TDS, with Adar and Sulsan. And I had the best experience. And even though I've played like eldest daughter role for like my entire life, I felt like little sis. I felt taken care of. I felt nurtured. I felt safe and secure. And what's so crazy is we talk about answered du'as. I had been making du'a to go to Umrah, I think since before Spain, right? Up until that point, for some reason, I just always thought I wouldn't be invited. I don't know why. I just was like, Allah doesn't love me. Like all this negative self-talk, right? And then I remember we were in Spain, and I remember one particular moment when we were in Spain in the mountains. Like we had done, I think it was like our second hike, and like the girls were taking pictures, and I had like gotten out my du'a list. And like the du'a that I kept going back to was like, Ya Allah, invite me. Ya Allah, invite me. Ya Allah, invite me. Okay, now fast forward a couple months.
Not even a couple of
during
months.
During that time. Not even a couple of months. Literally a month.
It was a month.
It was Nora. Just 1 month.
We were just talking about that Umrah. I mean, du'a.
Me and time. You know, me and time. We're not the best of friends. So then fast forward a month. And in that time, mom is now making du'a for me. And like, all my friends are making du'a for me. And even sisters that I met on that trip, like, wrote me letters that I was, like, reading for the first time after settling in. And it was like, Ya Allah, grant Nora to go to Umrah. And I remember weeping in my hallway being like, Ya Allah, like, it's not just my du'a. You gotta answer the du'as of everyone else, right? So now, fast forward, Adar's breaking the news. We have this great opportunity to go to Doha.
business conference, big deal, all this good stuff. And I'm like, bet, I'm ready to get on the pitch deck, all this kind of stuff. And then the conversation turns to, by the way, you might go to Umrah. And I'm like, huh? Je ne comprends pas. I don't understand what's happening right now. I don't understand what's happening right now. It felt like everything was happening in slow motion. She goes, yeah, you know, we're in the area. 2-day trip, you know, Friday land, boom, boom, boom. She's talking through the things and I'm hearing everything in slow motion. This is the first time I think Adar has seen me speechless, because I literally just break down and cry, like, literally crying. I was like, are you serious? No, no, I can't. Like, I want to go with Mama. Like, my da'as also included Mama. Like, I feel so bad to go by myself, all this other stuff. Anyways, we do the trip and now we go to Umrah. And I remember just like being on the plane as we were going into Jeddah, being like, oh my God, I'm about to do my first Umrah. Literally like freaking out in my own head. And the entire experience, as soon as we landed at the airport and then we were driving to the Haram, like imagine, we're like with our fast food in the back of the car, eating. I'm just looking at the mountains. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I can see the outlines of the mountains. This is where the Rasul and his companions walked through. This is crazy. This is mental. And then we get there, we get to our hotel. Selsun did her thing with the hotel, guys. Haram Alik. Were we there to worship?
Can we talk about that, though? Can we talk about that? There's videos. I have video recordings, okay? I'm gonna start my video here before Selsun gets on the microphone, because I have to say something.
Mm.
So said Abdullah.
What are you gonna say? Don't embarrass me on the internet, yeah.
So basically, so you have to. And just a side note, so there's multiple storylines happening here. There's Noura who's going to Umrah for the first time, and then there's me who told everyone that whole year I wasn't going to Umrah because I went to Umrah that early that year. And if you guys remember, I took my parents. I was there for even 2 months.
Yeah, you're there forever.
I believed I had filled my cup, right? But I remember the last day that I left the Kaaba, I sobbed because I don't know, I have this particular like obsession with the Kaaba. Like, I love Mecca, I love the Kaaba, I love standing there. And so with my last day, I sobbed like I've never cried in my life, because I was like, Allah, I thought you would keep me here.
Oh yeah.
Like, why would you make me, like, why are you letting me leave? You know, like, why? I'm the best I've ever, okay, why am I getting emotional? I'm the best I've ever been. Why
you thought you were going to stay for a little while. You thought that's what was going to happen. And all of a sudden, I'm staying.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, I was making plans. Like, subhanAllah, there was a man who was selling miswak. I was like, should I just take his job? Should I just sell miswak outside the Kaaba? Just to stay. And I was so sad that, like, when it came to my flight, there was no way for me to stay. And when I was saying goodbye to the Kaaba, I was so genuinely disappointed. I was like, Allah, I prayed about this for 2 months that you wouldn't let me leave, and I'm still leaving. Okay? And I just remember, like, before I turned my back, I said, Allah, like, invite me again. Like, if I can't stay, make me a frequent guest, you know? Don't make me a passive one or one that comes 10 years every 10 years, but somehow make me a frequent guest. And so the whole like, because everybody knew my story. Everyone could hear, everybody knew that I wanted to stay. Like, everybody knew I wanted to stay. And so when I was leaving, I was like, oh, okay, you left. Are you going to go back this year? I said, I don't know. Like, my schedule, it's kind of crazy. Like, I have all these responsibilities. I don't know if I'm going to be able to go. So it is what it is. And I was okay with that. And so you can imagine, when Sosa calls me randomly after we're making plans to do, you know, go to Doha, we're booking everyone's tickets, we're preparing our decks, we're preparing just the work that we need to do because we had a big presentation there. Sosa just says to me randomly on a call, I remember she calls me on Bodum because that's where I talked to Sosa on Bodum. And she says to me, hey, I was thinking. I said, thinking what, fam? Like, we're stressing the decks, this stuff like that. She goes, no, beyond that. But I think after Doha, why don't we all go to Umrah? And I looked at her and said, what do you mean go to Umrah? She goes, yeah, let's go to Umrah. It's literally, it's right there. It's an hour flight. We might as well. And I said, huh? Like, literally, like, wait, you think we could do that? She goes, why the heck not? An hour flight. And we leave Doha Friday, do Umrah Friday, Saturday, we leave Monday. You go home Monday. You're already on that side of the world. Why wouldn't you visit Allah's house? And I'm just sitting there. I just, it's crazy because I just never thought about it. I didn't give myself permission. And I literally started screaming. I get off the phone and I'm looking. I literally, guys, I think I'm in a movie. I'm actually such a weirdo. Why did I look up? And I said, don't tell me you're inviting me again. This is how Allah sometimes
you're invited. Like, in the office, started, you're like looking at the camera.
Was there a camera? She broke the fourth wall. She broke the fourth wall, guys.
Everywhere. Allah is above his seven thrones. Like, he's above the seven heavens on top of his thrones. So I'm just looking up, okay? And I literally think, subhanAllah, are you inviting me again? Like, genuinely shocked. Like, this is how I'm coming back. And I remember thinking, that's insane. And so, obviously, I got excited. My mom's in the other room. I'm, like, shook a little bit. And then I thought, oh, my God. Nora. This is Nora's first time. So I was like, oh, let me go break her in the news. Right? Because I was like, I have to break her this news. I'm excited to tell her that Nora, we're going to go to Umrah. And I remember thinking, oh, my God, I've always wanted to, you know, to be someone's, like, chaperone for the first time. I always want that because I love that. Bringing new people to the haram and, like, seeing their face. It's just, I find that so fun. And so for me, when I called you, I was like, Nora, assalamu alaikum. You know, we're doing this at a third. But, hey, by the way, mark on your calendars. We're going to Umrah. And and like you said, I never seen you so speechless. It took you a minute to start talking, and then you started crying. And I'm like, Nora, what the hell are you? Like, I know, it's amazing. She goes, no, you don't understand, Azad. I said, I was making dua
day before
for this 2 nights ago.
Yeah.
Like, the day before, 2 nights. Yeah, something like you were saying the night before.
You know, I was, let's keep it a buck and a 50. I was on my menzies, right? I couldn't pray, but I thought to myself, let me wake up during the tahajjud hours and make dua, as I would normally almost every night. And obviously, there's other elements to the story. Aisha, I love you. That just made everything possible, right? And yeah, literally when you... I think that's why I was so emotional, because I was like, I asked for this literally 24 hours ago. 24 hours ago, I asked for this, ya Allah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mad. Guys, how easy was it to do everything? Like, literally... Everything was booked. Everything was taken care of. You guys just had to come.
Literally. Can I know what Sosen said to the hotel manager?
Wait a minute. So we didn't even get to that point. So listen. Wait. I didn't even get to that part. So Sosen, this is the funny story, guys. Listen to this part. This is the part that makes me laugh, okay? Sosen was given the responsibility of finding the hotel, because obviously Sosen is she's been to the haram 10 million times.
That flights, girl, hotels, everything.
She might be one of the custodians of the haram, which shuk sudeis, because she's always there. Wallahi, her and her mother literally know they can give you a tour of the hotel. Like, they've been there 10 million times.
So
Sosa was like, oh, give it to me. I'll rearrange the car. I'll rearrange the booking. That's it. But she never told us where we're sleeping. She said, don't worry, I'll have that covered. So obviously, when we landed in Jeddah, you know, I'm with Nora, we're on the plane. We're flying, and I look at, you know, it's time, now we're passing the miqat. So I'm like, okay, Nora, prepare. Because, you know, like, we've been, so this is Nora's first time. So we're, like, telling her things. We're like, hi. And you know what's so crazy? I think Allah SWT is preparing us for something much larger. But anyways, I look at Nora, I say, Nora, bismillah ar-Rahim, welcome to the best land on earth. You are officially passing the miqat. You're going to be a Sayyid Ihram. This is what you say. And this is where we get into the state of ibadah, you know. And this is, you can't be like how you are before. We can't be talking recklessly. We can't be watching things.
You got it. You know, seriously.
I was telling her everything. The rules. I took it so seriously. I was telling her the rules. I said
no one talked to me.
Do not play around.
No one talked to me.
No one talked to us. Guess what? And then we started doing labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, out loud. And Nora saying with me. Cool. We landed in Jeddah. We're at the airport. Sosa's like, the car is here. First of all, now that I think about it, Sosa, we get in the car, and it's this nice guy. It's really, really well organized. We get in the car. He's taking us all the way to the haram. We landed in the middle of the night. I think it was around 10 p.m. We get in the car. Now we're driving to the haram. The haram from Jeddah to Mecca is about an hour, 20 minutes, right? And we see the green book, you know, the book that tells you, okay, you're officially in Mecca. I'm getting teary-eyed because I'm like, I can't believe I'm here again. Allah SWT is so kind. Like, even though I told people the whole year I wasn't going, Allah was like, yeah, you are. You're going on November, you know, 18th. Like, it was always on my calendar. I just didn't know about it. Obviously, the first place we go to before the haram is our hotel room, because we're going to drop off our stuff. So we don't know where we're staying. I'm thinking, you guys, I'm not gonna lie to you, I've roughed it in Mecca. I've been in some dodgy places in Mecca just to be in Mecca. So for me, I thought, like, you know, it didn't cost much. So I thought it's gonna be some wriggly, you know, hotel, maybe that has a little bit of smoke. Maybe it's not that clean, you know, but it's okay because we're here for ibadah. That's my mentality. We're for ibadah, who cares? We're already staying in a hotel. This driver takes us into the street that's private. Okay, I didn't even know there was a private street in the haram. Didn't even know they existed. It's this private street behind a hotel. And you have to, like, the driver has to say, oh, I got like, people who are staying in the hotel. We go into this private street. I'm looking at Sosin. And Nora and I are looking at each other. And we're looking at them, I'm like, what kind of hotel? And then these people start coming out of the hotel room, opening the doors, taking our bags. They're, like, telling us, don't hold anything. And then there's these stairs that are red. And I'm looking up, I'm like, what kind of hotel is this? We go up the stairs. Wallahi, Allah's my witness. When the doors opened, the bellman opened the door. The first thing that said to me was, Hasbi Allahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Did I come here for ibadah or did I come here for vacation? What is happening? I have never seen a hotel so decorated. I was staying in the hotel where the sultans were staying. Because why did we walk in? And it was so, the ceilings never ended. There were so many seating areas. The men were wearing Rolex watches. There were bellmen everywhere that looked like security. Have you ever seen a bellman standing like a security? He's not moving from his spot. He's not allowed to move from his spot. Okay? And this is incredible scent that whips you in the face. And then, so I'm recording, and I'm literally recording Sosin. Sosin, who could afford this hotel? What the heck? How is this even? Sosin's like, don't worry about it. It's my favorite hotel.
I love how it's one of my favorite hotels. I come here once every 5 weeks.
That tells you everything you need to know. That tells you everything you need to know about Sosin, okay?
This is my favorite hotel. Alhamdulillah, we got it in. You're so bougie.
And I, Allah Mubarak, okay? Her bouginess, mashallah. And the thing that she kept saying to me was, wait until you see breakfast. You think this is amazing? She kept talking about breakfast. I was like, what are you talking about breakfast?
I think I think that was my favorite part about the stay. The breakfast. Sosin was not playing around. She said, oh, last time I was here, they didn't have the breakfast. This time I made sure you guys got the breakfast. I said, say less. I've woken up now. I remember it was after our first tawaf, after our first.
By the way, it was one of the smoothest umrah I've ever done. Like, one of the smoothest, like, very easy, mashallah. Yeah.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
You know. Alhamdulillah. I'd like to say I was you guys' lucky charm. You know, I'm just gonna
I think you can definitely agree to that.
Yeah. But can I say though, like in the breakfast place, Nora, basically it was so grand. There was different sections, like it looked like a grocery store.
Intercontinental.
Why was it a section for everybody? Alhamdulillah. It was truly and by the way, like I literally looked at Nora, this is the part I remember so fondly. I looked at Nora and said, don't get used to this. This is not normal. That's what I said, this is not normal people's experience. You're getting some premium experience, so don't feel sad when you come back again. It's not like this. I'll tell you right now. I've been a couple of times. I have never seen this experience.
Sosin, whether it's a tedious trip or not, is planning. It's planning.
Well, not every umrah is planning. But guess what? Like the hardest umrahs are obviously the ones of Ramadan where you're literally sleeping on the floor. And if you even find an apple after iftar, wallahi say alhamdulillah. Okay? Every umrah is the same, man. But you,
it's crazy because Sosin for me, like most of, like you know, I don't know. It was just to me, I was like, this is like bougie. I've never seen to this kind of level. It was truly a beautiful experience, and I just want to kind of final end with this umrah because it was a dream, like for me to go with TDS members.
A way to end the year, subhanAllah.
The year, yeah. It was one written by Allah Subhanahu. But I will say, I think. My favorite moment, I have to say, with Umrah was with me and Nora on our last day. Because Sosin left a few hours before. But on our last day, when... So you guys, one of my dreams is to see the Kaaba or to doing tawaf while it's raining. I've seen all over TikTok. I've seen all over the internet. Obviously, like, we know how like, what rain means to us and when making dua. It's like... iconic. Imagine experiencing rain in the haram. And so like every time I've been there I have never seen it. I was there for 2 months, I never seen rain.
We weren't even gonna do, you know what I'm saying? It's so tawaf, by the way, it was just something that I said, oh, let's do final tawaf, right? And then, you made your little dad.
And then, because the driver was coming.
Yeah.
And so then, so we're walking, and I have a video of it. Like, I have a full video I edited. I never posted it. But me and Nora are just walking in. And mind you, like, we just left our hotel. So we don't have a hotel room. That's it. Like, we have to be chilling. Like, we left our bags in our hotel, but we're checked out. We're checked out. There's no going back. There's no changing clothes. So when we go in, we're like, we're just going to do our farewell tawaf and just, you know, spend whatever little time we have. And then, inshallah, when it's time to leave, we're going to leave. So we're walking. We go in. Wallahi. Thumma wallahi. All I see is this cloud. I feel it came out of nowhere. Started to look like it was about to rain. And Nora looks at me. We look at each other. I'm like, Nora, it's about to rain. Nora's like, no way. I said, Nora, it's going to rain. Nora, it's going to rain. And I'm like walking faster as I'm yelling, it's going to rain. It's going to rain. And Nora's like, okay. And we're like, no, we are going to be here for it. Wallahi, I thought we were going to have to maybe tawaf a few times before the rain started. When I tell you, I think we only did one tawaf before it started to pour.
Mm-hmm. That's so nice. Okay,
it was as if it was as if it was waiting for us. Like, it felt like it was waiting. Like, it was waiting for us to enter. And so we come in there, and we start doing tawaf, and it starts raining. It starts lightly sprinkling. And then I'm just smiling, grinning, ear to ear, okay? Grilling. And Nora's like, Adar, this is cute, but if it starts to pour, we can't be here. I said, Nora, listen to me. Listen to me very carefully. That's what I said. Listen to me very carefully. We are in the haram while it's raining. We are going to experience the fullness of this rain in the Kaaba. She's like, but we're going to get wet. I said, don't worry. I kept telling her, this is a gift from Allah. She's like, okay. And she doesn't let it rock, okay? She doesn't let me rock. We're wearing socks, okay? We're walking. We're doing tawaf, whatever. It starts to rain, you guys. Wallahi, it got to a point where it rained so much, I thought the Kaaba was going to float away. Because the water started to rise, okay? The water started to rise. It was giving, like, it was getting to the top of your ankle. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh my God. And we're having our own moment. Nora's having her own moment. I'm having my own moment. We're looking at people. People are smiling. Kids are like, people are praying. SubhanAllah, you see people leave the tawaf just to pray in the rain. SubhanAllah, you see it. And we're just sitting there making dua. You hear people giggling. You hear people laughing. You hear people rejoicing. You hear people making dua. It was just such an iconic moment. Unreal. And as we're raining, it was just so unreal. I remember it got so bad. Like, at that point, I couldn't breathe because my niqab started to stick to my face. That's how soaked I was, right? And I was like, oh my God, I actually can't breathe. You know, and so when we were leaving, one of the sisters who's obviously a custodian of the haram, she looks at me and Nora, she goes, Allah ya indik. Like, she's just smiling at us because she's like, you guys are soaked. Like, it's not even regular soaked. You guys are drenched, subhanAllah.
Right, and through, then came right through to the underwear. Like, when I say drenched, I mean drenched. I'm there shivering, and I'm thinking, I hope I don't get sick. And then Adam's like, you're not gonna get sick. Like, this is rain from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're in Mecca. It's not gonna make you sick. And obviously, I'm hearing about, you know, Mecca flu, and I'm like, babes, I am, you know, my immune system is not the best, okay? I've had COVID 4 times, yani, like, please.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, when it was fine when we were outside because the humidity and the number of bodies that were there, like, it felt like warm rain. But then as soon as we stepped back into the haram and, you know, experiencing the aircon, that's when I lost it.
Because we were shaking. Because we were praying Maghrib, Aisha, it's also shaking. Because the AC was behind us. And then Nora's looking at me. She goes, Adar, I'm going to get sick. I said, I promise you. If I know this to be a gift from Allah, you're not going to get sick.
That's so nice.
I know it. And I said, you're going to see. You're not going to get sick. You're going to go back to London. You're not going to get sick. And you're going to know confirmation that rain had barakah in it. And that rain wasn't going to harm. That rain wasn't going to harm you. You know, because that rain was a gift. Aww. And I said, because to me, it was an answer dua. Mm-hmm. For me, it was like, it is a gift because he's literally answered my supplication. But I remember when we were dry enough, we found a musalla that was locked, that was closed in the same hotel room, same we're staying in. And the bellman let us in and there was nobody in the musalla. And we just locked ourselves in there. We spent like 5 hours in there sleeping, praying. Well, like me and Nora were just sleeping, praying. Making dua, listening to lectures, having breakfast, nap. Like, literally,
it was so wild because obviously, like, they held on to everything for us. That wasn't the problem. It was more so having a place, a respite, just to
Okay, we
yeah, you didn't enough. Have your room, but you had that.
Yeah, it was really beautiful. I'm never gonna forget it. Really never was. Ever gonna forget it.
I know. But I guess just to wrap it up a little bit here, I asked this question in part one to the podcast team, and I want to ask you guys this question as well, as directors, as founders, is what advice would you give people who want to do more heart work in 2024, or who are currently doing heart work in 2024? Like, what advice would you give them?
I have two pieces of advice. One is just to do it. And I know it sounds really cliche, but who are you doing it for outside of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? I feel like heart work is when you're called to do it. So start it scared, start it unsure, start it in doubt, because the reward isn't from whether or not other people validate the work that you're doing. The reward is between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And on the day of judgment, when you see all of your deeds accumulated because of the hard work that you're doing in His name, it will be worth it. It will be worth it. The second advice that I have is to anyone who, I guess how I see it is, there are a lot of people out there who are Muslim, who want to do really great work, who have the resources, who have the time, but don't necessarily support their fellow brothers and sisters in actually doing the heart work. I'm speaking directly to them. People love to throw out this word community and connection, and they don't really practice what they preach, right? Be that person who extends a supportive hand. Be that person who extends a supportive word. Be that person who, you know, taps in with people and lets them know that what they're doing is correct, you know, in the sense of, like, it's upon the deen, it's about benefiting other people. Because sometimes you never truly see yourself doing that piece of work unless somebody gives you a nod. Sometimes it can feel very isolating and lonely, right? And so I guess it's just to encourage anyone to be a supportive friend. I think those two things.
I also have two, and one is kind of the same as Nora, which is, I think that if you're really, really want to do hard work for Allah, for the sake of Allah, you're going to, don't create something that just exists because in reality you want, you know, for people to say, wow, look what she created. For example, a lot of people are like, I want to create my own nonprofit that, I don't know, helps homeless people. You can do more good by volunteering in a nonprofit that exists already, that's, you know, doing the same thing as you want to do, and it'll be more beneficial than you starting. And I think that if you are starting and you're not, like, willing to just volunteer to a nonprofit that already exists, it might not be for, you know, for the right reasons. And another thing is definitely surround yourselves with people that will bring you closer to Allah and that, you know, understand what you want to do. And even if it's not to help you, but at least have that support and for you to be able to bounce back ideas with people that also see, you know, things the same way you do and will help you have that support, have that, you know, system. And so you'll be able to do it with more confidence. So yeah, those are my two advice.
Amazing. So soon?
I was hoping you would tell us that. For me, number one would be, if you're going to take the path of doing work for the sake of Allah, then make sure you also take a similar path of learning more about your deen and getting to perfect your deen in the best way possible. Because you can't really be doing work for the sake of Allah if you yourself are not following in the path of Allah. Alhamdulillah, one almost, you know, it's kind of like a cycle, right? If you're doing khair, it only brings more barakah for you and helps you do more khair. But it needs to be hand in hand, right? And I think that's something that we as a team member, as much as we're putting out, we're also going inwards and kind of checking ourselves, checking our nafs, you know, checking how is our alaqa, how is our relationship with Allah first and foremost, because whatever you're doing in the, is then reflected in the work that you do. And then you guys said it, all of us said it, right? So make sure that you not only, you know, do it for the sake of Allah, but renew your intention. Your intention last year is not going to be the same as your intention this year. We have to consistently renew our intention as Muslims. We always have to, you know, consistently say ashhadu an la ilaha illallah and remind ourselves la ilaha illallah. And it's the same thing with doing khair, right? You have to renew that intention and keep saying, ya Allah, I want to renew my intention that I'm doing this for you. And ya Allah, allow me to you know, hadhib my nafs, which is like kind of clarify my nafs and make it, you know, clear that what I'm doing is for your sake and not for anything else, right? Because subhanAllah, as human beings, we can easily be swayed. And how much imtihan were we put on, you know, especially last year where we didn't know a lot of things, you know, we were tested with a lot of things, subhanAllah. And if we kept renewing our intention, saying, yeah, Allah, this is for your sake, and Allah, alhamdulillah, rectified our affairs. So I think it's fix your relationship with Allah and B, keep renewing your intention.
I kind of want to rephrase what I said. I want to lean into what Sosan mentioned about intention, because I think that's where the crux of what I was trying to say came from. Like, it's really easy for us to get swayed or have inflated egos because we think that we're doing something for the sake of Allah, right? The ujub, right? Of your good deeds, thinking that what you were doing is so righteous that you need to start shouting and screaming about it and giving yourself props, right? And that actually takes that part away from like the purity of your intentions, right? It's like, if this truly is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there
fight
is
your
no
nafs.
Need yeah. for you to, exactly, there is no need for you to proclaim it, right?
That part.
Proclamation should be between you and Allah. Like, ya Allah, I'm doing this for your sake because I want to, you know, benefit myself, but also seek your reward when it counts, right? And then, again, the other thing that I would say is challenge those people who you see are able to be that supportive hand and friend, even if it feels like you're standing by yourself. Even if it feels like you're standing by yourself, right? Because the loudest person in the room isn't always the right person. Right? The smartest person in the room isn't always the right person. The person who has like the most resources isn't always the right person. So I think don't be afraid to challenge where you see it necessary in order to keep steadfast upon the work that you're doing, the hard work, right? Going back to that intention, it just feels like a bit of a loop in that way. And yeah,
just to add on to what you're saying, coming from a corporate background, how different is it? Like, we're saying, you know, the opposite. We're saying challenge your nafs and challenge people around you who are saying they do all these things. But what we're told in the other way is like, no, always talk about your wins and speak loudly about, you know, all the things that you've accomplished. But subhanAllah, if you're doing it for the sake of Allah, why do you need anyone to see it? You know, it's between you and Allah ultimately, right? Isn't it in a hadith that when you're giving sadaqah, your right hand, your left, you know, your left hand should know what your right hand's giving. And it's the same with the work that you're doing. Why do you need to tell people what you're doing?
Not always needing an applause.
Yeah, 100%.
Right. And I think it's really important, especially when you're at a particular place where you just feel like everyone's always applauding. You forget that maybe you are sometimes seeking that applause, but I think it's important to take it back a second and renew that attention. That's why renewing attention is so important, subhanAllah, because everything is judged by attention. Amal is so important, intent is so important, everything is so important. And I ask Allah to keep us steadfast and allow us to, you know, to remind us always to renew our intentions. Always, 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 always. But jazakallah khair, you guys. Honestly, like, I just love you guys.
What
are you giving?
Honestly, you guys wrapped it up perfectly. There is nothing more to add. When somebody has said the nasiha, who said it perfectly, there's nothing to add to it, subhanAllah. So you guys have said perfectly exactly what I would have said, if not more. So alhamdulillah. And I just want to tell you guys, I love you for the sake of Allah.
I love you too.
Love you for the sake of Allah.
You guys know me. Like, you guys are you guys are one of my greatest accomplishments in terms of relationship and people. I can't believe that I know you guys. I can't believe that we work together. It is truly a dream job. And you made it a dream job. Aww. You guys made it a dream job for me. And so I ask Allah SWT to accept it from us. And I hope that Allah SWT builds us a house.
Neighbors. You know, like, inshallah. He builds us a house in
Jannah because of it. And we're all neighbors. And we did our thing. That includes the podcast team, the directors, everybody that's part of TDS, as well as the listeners who's also take the time to listen to these long episodes of just talking, and somehow they gain benefit. And it really is from Allah SWT. Mm-hmm. So I love you guys. Love you, listeners. Thank you guys so much for making 2023 so amazing. And for all the messages and emails that you guys send us, we read every single one of them. And I just want to say, I don't want to choke up, but I just want to say that I love you guys. Truly, you are literally my sisters. I haven't met most of you, but I feel like I have. And I hope we can be sisters for life always. But yeah, guys, jazakallah khair. Thank you, TDS Director.
Yay,
we love you.
Thank you, all of you guys.
And with that note, jazakallah khair, everybody. This will be the last part of the wrap-up series. And we won't be back until Ramadan. But as you can see, Ramadan is literally on the horizon. It's right here. So we won't be gone for long. I'll see you guys in Ramadan. On a Friday, as always, in your ears, in your speakers, telling you a good story.
Sorry,
yay!